The market for food breaks down in several very poor parts of the world. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Some 20 million people are at risk of starvation in the next 6 months. This warning comes from the UN's World Food Program as it asks world governments for the highest level of humanitarian aid ever. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports there are four different food crises at once.
Parts of Somalia, Nigeria, South Sudan, and Yemen are one step away from famine, according to the UN early warning networks. In Yemen, the food coming in can't get past a naval blockade imposed by Saudi Arabia against rebels there. Christy Delafield is with Mercy Corps.
Prices have gone up because the blockade on the country has resulted in fewer imports. And in a country which imports 80% of its food, that is a big deal.
High prices are a common feature of food crises, and it's not just because of scarcity. Alex Duvall of the World Peace Foundation at Tufts University says food sellers often hoard their supply as prices rise. So it's important for food to come in from the outside and send a signal.
A lot of free food is coming, so better sell it now. And breaking that speculative spiral can be the key to preventing a famine.
In the last African famine, 250,000 Somalis died in 2011. There's a broad agreement that then the outside help came too late. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Note that two of the countries on this UN risk of famine list, Somalia and Yemen, are also on the Trump administration's list for temporarily banning refugees. President Trump could sign a new executive order on the immigration ban as early as today, revised in an attempt to make it pass legal muster. Home Depot shares are up 1.7% in pre-market trading now after the company in the last hour reported profits that beat expectations. The Depot has benefited from a strong housing market and demand from both professional contractors and do-it-yourselfers. The company did $94 billion in sales last year without building new Home Depots. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Home Depot was just named one of Fast Company's 50 most innovative companies for, quote, growing without building. Analyst Alan Rifkin with BTIG says since the recession, the big box retailer has opened just a handful of new stores each year.
By our measure, 2016 will represent the seventh consecutive year where earnings have grown at least 17% annually, despite essentially zero store growth.
So how do you grow without building? By bringing more customers into existing stores. Laura Kennedy at Kantar Retail says as the housing market has rebounded, professional contractors have come back big time.
Sales to pro contractors make up close to 40% of Home Depot's revenues, even though they're in the single digits as a percentage of their overall shopper base.
Home Depot has also innovated with technology, like an app that tells you exactly where to find a particular hammer in a given store, and an augmented reality feature that shows how a new sink or door will look in your home. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Now to Philadelphia, which has passed a law preventing companies from asking job applicants about their past salaries. Salary histories can effectively lock in past discrimination, including the tendency to pay women less than men. Pay equity advocates are celebrating the change, while some business groups and employment experts are watching for unintended consequences. Bobby Allen of Station WHYY reports.
The law goes into effect in May, but it got Alex Capano thinking. She's a nurse practitioner in Philadelphia. Not too long ago, she was filling out a job application and was asked about her current salary. She answered the question reluctantly.
And I also wanted to know, you know, do they check up on this? How honest do I have to be? Am I setting myself up for kind of a lowball offer?
She got that job offer, but the salary did seem low, so she turned it down. Marianne Bellisordi with the anti-poverty advocacy group Pathways explains why she thinks the law is important.
If a woman or a minority or really anyone goes into a job early in their career with a low income, that low income is going to follow them from place to place if they have to continue to disclose what they earned.
But Rob Wunderling with the Chamber of Commerce for the Philly area says there's no guarantee it's going to work. He also worries companies will decide to open up shop elsewhere. And he says business owners he's talked to are concerned about more red tape.
We heard quite a bit about what I'll describe as the hassle factor.
At the Wharton School, Professor Peter Capelli studies HR department issues. He doesn't buy the argument that the new law will be a burden on employers, but he's skeptical it will prompt businesses to raise salary offers.
This is one of the problems when you deny people information that they want is they guess. And in this case, the guesses might make things worse.
Sure, says Capano the nurse. But if the guess is too low, would-be hires, especially women, can always reject it.
Women aren't told to or taught to negotiate as well as their male counterparts and are often feeling like they have to accept the first offer that comes their way.
Once the law takes effect, companies can face a $2,000 fine per violation for asking a salary history question. In Philadelphia, I'm Bobby Allen for Marketplace.
And remember Saturday Night Live pretending to advertise the taco wrapped in the tortilla surrounded by a Parisian crepe and folded into a Chicago-style pizza? Well, what happens when you layer an apple fritter into a triple Whopper, then use that to stuff a chicken? Reuters sources today say the owner of Burger King and Tim Hortons is close to buying Popeyes. Restaurant Brands International's deal values Popeyes at about $1.7 billion. A big shareholder in Restaurant Brands is 3G Capital, which is still smarting from the collapse of its bid to help Kraft Heinz buy Unilever for more money than Croesus ever had. No, I said Croesus. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Daniel Ramirez. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.